You know, everybody, I told Joel I wanted to ask him something, and Joel, it has to do with, well, you know, special requests.
And familiar with those.
Yeah. You know, and what made me think about it, I felt so sorry for it. I mean, I had conflicted emotions about this. I was at a Grover Washington concert years ago, and it was local. He was hit the bell, and he had played a number of songs, and all of a sudden, somebody in the audience yelled out, "Hey, Grover, Mr. Magic."
Yeah.
He ignored him, went to another song, played it. "Grover, Mr. Magic." He ignored him, played another one. Every time he stopped, that guy said,
"This was Grover, at the bell?"
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He said, "We want to hear Mr. Magic." Grover said, "Man, that song is so old."
We're really like a few songs into the actual concert.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did he play it?
He did finally go ahead and play it because the guy said, "Yeah, I understand, man, but we still like it. We want to hear it." And there were enough people in the audience
to make enough noise about
it. Yeah. That he went on ahead and did Mr. Magic.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, man, I know it's got, because we're talking, that song must have been 10, 15 years old by then. And I was thinking to myself, he's got to be tired of it. But at the same time, they don't hear him play it every time he plays it.
Right.
A lot of these folks are probably going to hear him play it live for the first time. And so for me, it was mixed. I could hear where Grover was coming from. I could hear where the audience was coming from.
Yeah, it's a delicate balance. It really is. With Travis Shaw, the guy I'm doing this duet with nowadays, if we like it, we play it. And it really has never been that way in the different bands that I've played with over the years. So with Travis, to finally get to play stuff that other bands wouldn't allow you, or it wouldn't be possible to play. You couldn't play in a rock band, you couldn't play it, a jazz band wouldn't want to do this song, rock band wouldn't want to do this song. And but it really is because of who Travis is and how we get along with each other, who you work with and how you work together. That's the key ingredient there, key part of the equation. If we like it, we play it. Means our set will be changing pretty often. And hopefully, well, I mean, I don't know, in a few years from now, there will be stuff that does catch on. Blues of Joel Cruz tends to win audiences over. Song I talked about last time I was here, which really isn't a song, which is also why you can't do it with certain bands, because it's too weird. You're like, that's poetry, or it's a vocal, and it's too orchestrated. We can't do that in a jazz band, or you can't do it in a rock band because it's too jazzy. You know, okay. Nobody ever wants to. Yeah. And then we'll pick songs from movies or something that a rock band or a jazz band won't do. Sometimes it's a song that a band can't do, like something bebop, super bebop, incredibly complicated as far as rules of music. And you're not going to be able to pull it off with your band that you have a lot of fun with, because they're not familiar with that type of approach. Yeah. So playing with Travis is such a blast. Yeah, we can do what we want, and that's what we do.
That's interesting. Yeah. And so does that come with a lot of training? Does it come with a lot of practicing? Does it come with being open to different approaches?
Training is as equally as important as your relationship with your colleague. Because you can work with the most amazing person on a specific instrument that has no interest in your roots or what kind of music you grew up with or your heritage, like the island music. And so you'll never get to play hula music at your gig. And so far, Travis and I have actually done some of that stuff. And
interesting.
The first time he agreed to do a certain song, I thought, really? Oh, that's great, man. Thanks.
He thought he was going to say, nah, man.
I wasn't sure. But, you know, we started working together again in January of this year. And one day I pulled out one of these island songs. Hey, you want to do this song? Sure, man. Let's do that one. Nice. You just made my year so much better. The whole year.
And he's on bass or drums?
He's on bass.
Bass. Okay.
Excellent.
And upright bass, right? Yeah.
He'll bring that and the electric.
Okay.
He's got quite a few axes to choose from. And he varies it at every gig. Yeah.
Okay.
You'll normally see me with a tenor, but not every gig. Not every gig.
How did that become your saxophone of choice?
I don't know. At one point, I would bring soprano, alto, tenor to every single gig. And at some point, I said, Let's just go with two. And I would bring the alto and tenor or alto and soprano. And those two instruments don't play the same note if you play them at the same time. They transpose differently. Mm. And one reason that I actually chose to bring either alto and tenor or alto and soprano, one reason was it's kind of a flag to other musicians in the audience. They'll see two instruments that transpose differently, and the guy's going to play both of them in the same song. It's just a way of kind of flexing your muscles a little bit without actually saying anything. It's just like, and you don't know if anybody's going to know it anyway. It really is just a little bit of the tiny little flag to put out there. Look what I got. And then I eventually went with just one. So if it was going to be one, it would have been the tenor because that's what people recognize.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But I get tired of the sound of a tenor and I'll pick up the other horn. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can see that because you know what? You're playing all the time. I can see the room for some kind of variety.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I love variety.
Yeah.
It makes it so much. You don't get bored. You should not get bored in this business. And if you're in a group and you get bored, then something's wrong.
Wow. Yeah.
Either with you or with the group.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, it should be impossible to get bored in this business. And even on your one instrument, if you're open to music, period, and not just one way of listening, one thing to listen to. And a lot of people will fall into that trap.
Yeah. With you, was this something that, you know, that openness to different musics? Did that start with someone in your family? Your father showed an interest in various music genres?
I think it's living on this side of the planet. I mean, because my family's from Guam.
Okay.
Right? So when we were military brats, and here we are in the Southeast. When we first moved here, the gospel world blew my mind. My dad was familiar with the whole gospel church and the whole music, but I hadn't seen it. And a lot of my friends were going to these churches, and I would visit with them a lot. And that was definitely educational. And I mean, I took it in with no problem at all. I wasn't offended or anything. I was like, oh, nice. I like this stuff. And then there was the break dancing and all this other everywhere. It was not hard for me to take it all in. I wanted all of it.
Yeah. About what age were you when you began to be exposed to all of that?
Yeah, maybe around, definitely in the teens when I started to notice it.
Okay.
Yeah. When I got into the band. But when I got my first saxophone, it wasn't necessarily, didn't realize how much music there was in the world. I know that.
Yeah.
But then it started hitting me from every angle. And, wow, I like that too. And I was one of the people that wanted all of it and wanted to play all of it. And over the years, I'd meet musicians that limited themselves by themselves.
Yeah.
And they chose a path, which is not bad. But I teach not just styles, rules, and they learn music and they realize that they can play anything they want. Mm. Once they realize they can do it, it's typical that they'll just go that any direction they want because
now
they
when
can.
When you say they can, do you mean you're giving them permission to, or do you mean they have the ability, or is it both?
The ability, right. Okay. Sometimes they think that I play violin so I can't play jazz, or I play saxophone so I can't play classical, or I play saxophone so I can't play at church. I play saxophone so I don't know anything about chords. I play saxophone so I don't know anything about rhythm. Like, what? Oh, no. We're going to learn all this stuff. And you realize that there's nothing you can't physically do. So, and when they get them to that point, they go for it. Young Lions is that in, it's summed up in the Young Lions. In fact, I think I mentioned last time that these principles, I get these principles in their head first, not necessarily mine, but I'll tell them you have to get your head in the right place. And if they do that, if they don't do that, put their head in the right place, they will not advance in the training. It cannot happen. And they've all learned that. Because as soon as they're shut down to something or they can't listen in eight different directions at once because they're limited to seven.
Yeah.
If they're limited to seven, no, I want eight. then they can't execute. And it's pretty valuable lesson. And at this point, all of them show that they have interest in every single direction they can possibly go. And I love that. Love that. There's no telling how far or which well they'll go in the future. And with some kids, you just kind of know.
Yeah.
He'll never try that. And even those, I try to reach them too. Like, why not? Oh, you don't even know. You don't even know. You know what? You should hang out with me and my boys. Let's do that. Come on. You can come to a rehearsal and just watch what happens.
Yeah.
I think it has the same effect on everyone when they realize, oh my gosh, I can do all that. Yeah. Somebody actually told you couldn't. Maybe you told yourself. That's too bad.
Mm, yeah. That's a good point. Maybe they told themselves they couldn't. Mm. And that's probably where it usually comes from self.
Yeah. I think both places. But yeah, when it comes from you, that's probably the most potent. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And too bad. Yeah.
Well, you were talking about the song that Blues of Joel is not Greer. A song.
The song that's not a song. Yeah. That's a story about the blues, but it's my story. Yeah. And pretty orchestrated because it starts one way and it goes into another thing, but you have to go to the other place with the band. Otherwise, it doesn't work with the story. So, well, it's got vocals. It's got a lot of playing in it, too, but a little bit orchestrated. I can do that here. There is a song. So if any disclaimer, I'll mention that the lyrics to this song and this piece, I didn't actually write, but it fit the song, the story the whole way through.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay.
Want to hear some of that?
Yeah, let's hear some of that.
Okay.
And y'all stay with us. We'll be fading the break.
Woo, man. We got this mic in the right place.
All right. I'll tell you what. Mm-hmm. We're going to go to break. And as in fact, what we'll do is when we come back, y'all going to come back to Joel Cruz's song.
The Blues of Joel Cruz.
We'll be right back.
There you go. That'll